We thank you for Russell, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you just bless the preparations that Russell's made, and that you really open our hearts to what you've got to say to us through your word this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is the fifth in our series on what God calls us to be as Saltisford Church. We've looked at how Christ is the cornerstone that holds us all together. We've looked at how God calls us to be living stones and has chosen us to build his church with, and how we should live together as the people he has chosen, and how we all have a part to play in that body. And today, we're going to look at the process of building that body under the title, We Are Body Builders. And just before I start, I don't know whether have you got the doofer, Matt? Thank you. We're going to return today to Ephesians. And if you haven't got a Bible and like to raise your hand, then one will be brought to you. Looking at chapter 4. And just as a quick reminder, Paul is writing here a letter of encouragement from prison in Rome to the Christians at Ephesus. And his aim is to explain what church is all about. So we'll start reading at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Now, we've already sung a song based on the first verses of this passage, where we learn about being completely humble, gentle and patient and bearing with one another. And for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, I think that will also resonate with the passage from Colossians, which James spoke on, where we looked at how we should live together as the people God has chosen. And I don't want to go over all that again. But one thing that I did particularly feel it was worth pulling out of this passage was in verse 3, where it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God allows us to make choices. God has given us free will. And just because the Holy Spirit has prompted us to do something, it doesn't mean it's going to be effortless. We actually need to make a choice sometimes and allow God to have that control in our lives. Am I going to let something pass when somebody's offended me and forgive them? Or am I going to hold it against them? How far am I willing to inconvenience myself to help someone out in the church? Is keeping the unity and the peace of the body paramount in the choices we make? And Paul isn't just asking us to try to do this. He's saying, make every effort. Do our utmost. It's obviously very important, and there's a responsibility that we have in this. As we go on, I hope we'll start to see why this unity is so important and how God calls us to work it out. The first clue as to the importance of unity in the body is there in verse 4. It talks about one Spirit, Lord God, and one God and Father. God is three in one. And this is the unity that we see reflected throughout Scripture. We see it in other verses, like John chapter 5, where he says, what the Father does, the Son does also. God is one. But this isn't a characteristic that he keeps to himself. It's in this very same verse, Paul declares the unity of one body, that's us, and the hope and the faith and the baptism within which we share. Just as God is one, we too, his body, are called to be one in him, in our faith, hope and baptism. And I don't want to go over the same ground again, because some of you may say, well, this is a bit like what Ian was talking about last week. But I think it's so profound, this truth, that it's worth reminding ourselves of again. Ian spoke from Corinthians, where it says, though its parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. Again, Christ's unity is likened to the church's unity, and this way in which the church is called to emulate God himself in its unity is a real challenge. It's a challenge to me, and it's one of the things that's really spoken to me from this passage. So when, in verse 1, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, is this not the calling? For us to be bound together as one in Christ. It's a beautiful idea, and it's one that is there in the Psalms as well, in Psalm 133. And it's a short psalm, so I'm just going to read it all. It says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down onto the collar of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There's a couple of images within this psalm, one of oil, the oil of anointing, and how that's pouring down onto the collar of Aaron the priest's robes, and on that collar was representation of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is the people of God, how the anointing of the people of God is coming through that brothers living together in unity, the beginning of the psalm. And the other image that we have here as well is the dew of Hermon. Hermon was the mountain in the northern kingdom of Israel, falling on Mount Zion, which is the mountain in the southern kingdom of Israel. And so there was this unity between the kingdoms being expressed in this. With the blessing of dew. What does that mean then for us as God's people today, the church? Well, it is the Holy Spirit, I believe. It's the Holy Spirit will come in a way that is beyond what we experience if we're not united, when we are united in him. There's a special blessing of the Holy Spirit when we are one. And it's important that we have that picture of what unity can actually mean for us as a church and how that emulates God and make it our goal. It would be easy if it weren't for the fall, Because if it weren't for the fall, all creation would be at one with itself and at one with God, since God is over all and through all and in all. But because of the fall, disunity exists. And I think that's probably something that we recognise at times amongst us. Certainly the goal becomes harder to attain. But it's not just a case of you failed. Look around us. We're a body of living people, and we're a body of people in whom God has put his Holy Spirit, and he can do something with that. So if you take nothing else from these first few verses in the passage, I want it to be that there's something remarkable in this unity that we aim for, and we need to undergo an ongoing transformation to make us fully one. We need to think of the body as a building site, with Christ as the foundation on which we are the rising structure, the church. So what is the process by which God is building his church on the foundation of Christ? Well, we look on in verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. So we have gifts of grace. In later on in verse 8, it says, he gave gifts to men. Christians receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, and that is every one of us. And from these gifts, God is able to build his church. In verse 11, Paul talks about some of the specific gifts to which people are called. Some to be apostles and some to be prophets. Let's just look at those first two, because I think they're special, and it's worth just understanding how in chapter 2, this is what we looked at the very beginning when Ian spoke, it says the church, chapter 2, verse 20, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And it's generally understood that those apostles and prophets were unique roles in the early church on which the foundation of the church was laid. However, we then move on to the more familiar roles of evangelists and pastors and teachers, which we know as the leaders in the church today. And in verse 11, Paul talks about those particular giftings. Now, what is the purpose of talking about these specific leadership roles? Well, it is to prepare God's people. And again, this is every one of us. It's not just to something that concerns only people with these particular callings. And for what are they to prepare God's people? For works of service. It's there in verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. So the works of service are built upon the gifts of grace that God has given us. So why are works of service highlighted here? It's important that we just understand that this is not anything to do with our salvation. And just one page back in my Bible, it's very clear in chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul writes, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." So our salvation itself is right there in the gifts of grace at the bottom. It's nothing to do with that, but Paul is still making a very clear point here about works of service. And it is, as you read on, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The works of service are important because it's those which build us up as a body. They're crucial. And if we just look at Jesus' ministry, serving others was absolutely central to his ministry, wasn't it? And it's essential, if we as his body, the church, are to grow up in him, that we also have that attitude of serving. Now, these aren't just any old works of service. It's not just about being busy doing lots of good stuff for other people. If we just go back to chapter 2, verse 10, it says, goes on, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. It's those works that God has lined up. His Spirit is still at work within this. His Spirit is still there prompting us as to what it is that he wants us to focus our attention on. It's not just about being busier, but it's about taking those opportunities and focusing on the ones which God has given us. It's working on his agenda, and that is crucial, and also liberating. A colleague of mine at Christian Fellowship talked to me about this a few months ago, and I actually found that it's a really liberating thought. He told me about how, just remember that God is doing his work here, and he wants us to be part of that. It's not us who are doing the work on our own. He's preparing these things for us to do. And I was reminded of it just this week. Had a phone call out of the blue at work from somebody at a different site. And they said, I've picked up from an Outlook calendar that there's an Alpha course running at the Gaydon site, and I want to do Alpha course. I'm not a Christian. And is there any way you could run it at our site as well? So obviously we're going to try and make that happen. But that really reminded me this, that God is providing these opportunities. It's not something that we've got to go and work at entirely on our own. We've got to identify those. And when we do those works of service, what is the result? How is the body of Christ built up? Well, in verse 13 we see, until we reach unity, and this unity comes from the faith and the knowledge of Christ. It comes from putting our gifts which God has given us into practice in service, and not just sitting here each Sunday listening. We've got to do the putting into practice, and because we put into practice, we grow in faith and knowledge, and that brings unity. And the faith and the knowledge leads also to maturity. Later on in verse 13, we become mature. Now, this isn't just an arbitrary cause and effect between works of service and what, if you like, is the culmination of our bodybuilding, which is unity and maturity. If we just think about the nature of God again, as we read in verse 4, God is one and God is also good. And when we commit ourselves to work together, to use the gifts he's given us for the good works he's prepared for us, then we experience both the oneness in the together and the goodness in the good works that he intended for creation. And so we're becoming closer to what God wants us to be. We're growing in our faith and in our knowledge of Christ, and we are moving closer to attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the words that Paul uses here in verse 13. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ is what we ultimately attain. And I was thinking, what does it mean, the whole measure? Well, when you're at the petrol station, I know there's some of us who put in just £20, and then there's other people who always fill up their cars. And then there's people who go to the third click. And then there's people who keep clicking until you can't get any more in between clicks. And when Christ returns, that's how the church will be brimmed right to the top. That's how we'll be completely attain the fullness of Christ. It will be like that person who can't get any more in their tank. That's when Christ returns and we finally attain this. But until then, we need to keep working towards it. We need to keep an eye on the fuel gauge. We can't just be content with a little bit of Christ-likeness in the body. We are being transformed completely into his likeness. And the fullness of Christ is what God is building into his church. That's our potential as a body. And we need to keep our focus on this body-building process through gifts of grace being used in works of service which bring us unity and maturity. And until we get there, we shouldn't be satisfied with who we are as a church. There are other consequences of this as well. And in verse 14, we look at, as we worked in this body-building process, we'll no longer be like infants tossed back and forth by the waves, by all kinds of teaching. We'll be clearer in our faith and knowledge, and we will understand the truth. And that will make us better equipped to discern false teaching and know what is true. And verse 15, again, that's very important. God will show us, as we are built up, how to speak the truth in love. This is a responsibility that we're called to do in verse 15, to share with each other what we learn of the truth as we grow in Him. We take opportunities and we learn things from them. And it's really important that we find the chances within our church to actually share that. Prayer care groups, of course, is a great one. But do we always have that at the forefront of our mind when we go to prayer care group, that we're actually looking for things which we can share, which will build each other up in that faith and the knowledge of Christ and move us further on together? And remember, it says here, do it in love. It's for the good of the body. And so, as a conclusion, I think Paul's written it perfectly in verse 16. Let's just look at this verse to conclude together. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows. Let's just stop there. We can't achieve Christ-likeness as individuals. Christian life doesn't make any sense in isolation because we've not all been given the same gifts. We're different body parts and we have to work together, just like a sports team has to work together. You can't all be a hooker in rugby. The other part of this conclusion is, and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It builds itself. There is work to be done. Christ has laid the foundation and we have the Holy Spirit, but we have the responsibility to build this together. As we looked at the beginning, to make every effort, to make the right choices, to actually let the Holy Spirit influence our behaviour. We have a choice to do that, and to choose to cooperate with each other and with God and build up, as it says, in love. That's the most important banner over all of this. And so, as I studied this passage and to bring this today, there's just a question really that hung there at the end, and it was all about what is the focus of our energies within the church? Are we focused on ourselves as individuals? Where am I at with God, we might ask? Or are we focused on each other? Would they appreciate it if I did that for them? Or are we focused on Saltisford Church? How can we maintain everything that we try and do here? Or are we focused on the building up of the body? What works of service has the Holy Spirit prompting us to do, which He's prepared for us? With a recognition that this is not only going to be the best outcome for ourselves as individuals, for each other and for Saltisford, but that through this something remarkable is being built, not just here, but in the whole of Warwick, in the whole of the country, and globally. It is the universal church, which is Christ's body. And it's important we have that vision. From time to time, I get a chance to watch Grand Designs on Channel 4. And this week, I don't know whether anyone saw it, but there was this folly on top of a hill outside Newport, a fantastic location, in a terrible state, and they undertook a painstaking restoration of this folly and put on a massive extension on the side in a very contemporary style. And once they've set the scene in this programme of the project they're going to undertake, you basically get 30 minutes of footage of muddy building sites. And in this case, they represented over a year's struggle with the challenges of this particular project. But there was something that kept them going throughout this project, and there's something that as a viewer kept me interested, and it is that anticipation of the finished results. You've got this vision of what they're going to turn this into, and you can't wait really until that last 10 minutes when they actually show you the finished structure and the people move in and they look around and they say, isn't it great? And we need to have that exact same attitude within the church. We need to get beyond seeing the church in a maintenance mode. We need to picture what the whole measure of the fullness of Christ looks like for us as His body and keep that picture before us. And that means we're excited when an opportunity opens up. Maybe it's something that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Maybe we should be doing that instead of something else. And it affects the way that we pray. We pray, how do we pray? Do we pray for our church to be built up, knowing that each of us has a part to play in that? And do we pray towards the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, looking forward to when we will attain that, when he returns? And are we praying for the 28th of February when we meet together as a church to look at our direction? Is our focus towards that? I wanted to finish with prayer because I think that's what it would be good for us to do. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you how you long to give good gifts to your children, and we thank you that each one of us here has been given a gift. Lord, we thank you that not only have you given us gifts, but you've prepared for us works of service for us to do together. And Lord, we want to pray that you would show us those works of service, that you would help us to make the effort we need to turn them into the building up of our body, so that we will attain this unity and maturity that you have presented to us here, and that we will become like you, that we will become, know the fullness of Christ when you return in all things. And Lord, we want to pray specifically about our meeting as a church in 2 weeks' time, that you would be revealing to us what it is that you want us to put our energy into, that you'd be helping us to make the right choices, and that your Holy Spirit would be paramount in this process as we look to build your body here at Saltisford. Lord, we pray that you bless us in all these things through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.